This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. This is Sharmila Ganesan together with Tishao Ik and Kelly Anisa. So before the break, we were talking about the larger impact of the burning Amazon rainforest. And now for our second story, we've got a poll going on Twitter.
We're asking you, is 8 ringgit a day enough for a person in Malaysia to live on? So this includes food, rent, transport, and medical needs. So 98% of you have said no, and 2% of you have said yes. So you can take that poll at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can WhatsApp us your thoughts at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So that's quite an overwhelming poll response. Yep. And the reason we're asking you this is because last Friday, Philip Alston, who is the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights, caused a bit of a flurry here when he said that Malaysia's official poverty rate is vastly underestimated. This is because, according to our government, our official poverty rate is one of the lowest in the world. From 49% in 1970, it's dropped to just 0.4% in 2016. However, according to Alston, we managed to achieve this rate because the poverty line that we use to define poverty is much too low. So just for some context, Alston was actually here in Malaysia for an 11-day visit, during which he went to various states and met with government officials, international agencies, civil society members, indigenous communities, academics, and people who were affected by poverty in both urban and rural areas.
So currently, our national poverty line is 980 ringgit a month. That's household income. So that means if your household income is 980 ringgit or more, you're not living in poverty. But if you break down what that sum means, right? I mean, 980 sounds like a lot, but it actually if you break it down to per person, it is about 8 ringgit per person per day for a family, an average family size of four. And according to Alston, this is a tragically low line for a country on the cusp of attaining high income status. And essentially what he's saying is that the reason we seem to have nearly eradicated poverty is because our definition of poverty is extremely unrealistic, actually. He also went on to say that independent analysis shows that Malaysia's poverty rate may in fact be 16 to 20%, like way higher than the
0.4%.
However, our economics affairs minister, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, has dismissed those claims, saying Malaysia stands by its official poverty figure of 0.4%. Azmin said that Malaysia's national poverty line was derived from internationally accepted standards of the Canberra Group Handbook on Household Income Statistics published by the United Nations itself. So this morning, our Morning Run team had an interview with Philip Alston, and they asked him about this discrepancy. Here's what he had to say.
Well, the Canberra Handbook, which is now 7 years old, addresses really only the question of methodology. In other words, how you should estimate the household income distribution. It doesn't actually set a particular level. It leaves huge discretion to countries. So you can follow the generally agreed methodology, in this case of the Economic Commission for Europe, which is a UN regional agency. But that doesn't mean that you are, in fact, setting a poverty line that is comparable to the approach adopted by most other countries.
So Economic Affairs Minister Azmin did also say that the government was reviewing the poverty line income to reflect the current cost of living. And he mentioned a multidimensional poverty index that has been established to measure poverty on a wider scope.
However, it should be pointed out that Azmin didn't dispute the figure of 8 ringgit a day per person that the current poverty line income uses. Instead, what he said was that this line was higher than the 5 ringgit and 20 cent per day that was targeted under UN's own sustainable development goals. Now, that's actually a global figure rather than a country-specific one, so it doesn't take into account Malaysia's own cost of living, for instance.
So our Morning Run team also asked Philip Alston what a more realistic figure would be for Malaysia's national poverty line.
Well, it's not really for me to come up with a figure. I'd have to do a lot more work, but there's a very distinguished economist named Martin Ravalian, who has spent time at the University of Malaysia, and I think will be returning again soon, who has suggested that in contrast to the something like 7 ringgit a day per person of the present level, it should be closer to 50 ringgit a day, which would be a dramatic increase. That would be 7 times 980, something like 6,700 ringgit a month. That would yield a poverty line of about, a poverty level of about 20%.
So the recording was a little unclear, but to sum up, Elston references economist Martin Revelyan, who says based on various factors related to Malaysia's cost of living, the national poverty line should be closer to 50 ringgit a day, which works out to more than 6,000 a month per household of four people.
Mm. That's a huge difference, yeah. 8 ringgit per day versus 50 ringgit per person per day.
Yes, so it's disingenuous for Azmin to say, well, 8 ringgit is higher than the 5 ringgit 20 that the SDG sets anyway, because it's not country specific, as you've said.
Mm. And it also doesn't address the fact that, it's not the line that he's disputing, right? And even Alston is not saying that the figures are wrong. What he's saying is that we are basically setting our line much too low to account for people who are living just above that line, but actually should be considered as living in poverty.
That's right, yeah.
Basically, our government says that earning 980 ringgit per month per household, or that translates into 8 ringgit a day per person if you assume it's a family of four, that these people aren't living in poverty. So let's break down what this national poverty line figure means. And I do need to credit Nathaniel Tan's column in The Star for these figures, because he did a really good job of outlining what that 8 ringgit a day would translate into. A great read if you want a bit more insight into this issue. So let's say you're buying groceries and cooking at home every day. You might be able to make do with just 5 ringgit a day per person for food. This is pretty much just rice, a fried egg for lunch with a little bit of vegetable, and that same meal again for dinner. Mm. So for a family of four, that adds up to about 600 ringgit a month, which will leave you about 380 ringgit for the rest of the month for rent, clothing, electricity, water, transport, school supplies, medical needs, and whatever else you might need to spend on.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's really it. Right? And that's how we're defining someone as not being under poverty lines.
That's right.
And what about if you don't cook at home?
Yeah.
You know, what if, and this doesn't even account for something as simple as breakfast.
And just the fact that we can't just look at a cost and the need. You look at the daily realities of low-income families. Many of them are both adults or both parents in the house are probably having to work, holding down perhaps two jobs each, working irregular jobs as well, things that aren't bound by fixed working hours. And so, yeah, how is a family expected to cook consistently and well when they are also struggling to just get to their jobs every day, and because every hour that they're not working is lost income.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about, say, a single income family, if that income earner were to be sick even for a week, you know, that makes a huge dent in this amount. And then they will not be able to even make up a quarter of their earnings to pay for all of these, which are basic necessities.
Yes.
And so, there is a difference between someone who chooses to live with that budget daily and someone who is forced to live with it under the circumstances.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the problem here is that people who live at this level are not technically classified as poor, so they are not qualified for the sort of social aid that the government provides to those who fall below the poverty line.
Right.
And that's what Alston calls an underinvestment in poverty reduction and an inadequate social safety net that does not meet the people's needs. And he further says that this puts many people's rights, basic rights to food, housing and education at risk.
So to get an idea of how these issues translate on the ground, we have on the line social activist Syed Azmi Al-Habshi. Syed Azmi, what are your thoughts on the UN rapporteur's statement that Malaysia's reported poverty rate is inaccurate?
To me, it depends on perspective. I've also read the official statement from YB Azmin to explain from the government's perspective. And basically, to me, both have its point. It depends on what we want to take out of it. Do we want to take 100% on one side without looking into the other side's perspective? And that is how I see it. The most important thing in the end is, with such information, do we want to do something about it?
So from your observations of working with various communities in Malaysia, do you think this figure of 8 ringgit per person per day is an adequate amount to live on?
8 ringgit a day. Wow. Honestly, it's not enough. It's not how I believe or how I feel, is what I've seen in the work that I do on the ground. But having said that, talking about urban poverty, the number is real, and I think that is a very scary number. If we look at rural and we say that the number is less, the thing is, I see different patterns and habits between urban poor and rural poor. To me, the rural poor are more resilient, you know, at any amount. There were days that they don't have any, 3 ringgit a day or even less or even nothing, right? But they still can find a way and cope. Whereas urban poor at 8 ringgit or even 15 ringgit a day, sometimes they get jammed, you know, because it's not enough, prioritization is not there, there's other factors, environment factors that we have to look at, and this is something that we actually have to see on whether there's habits or skill or way of thinking, values, prioritization that we actually have to look at. Honestly, to be really, really realistic, it is what it is. You know, we all are working adults, or we work hard, and that's what we have. We cannot say that, oh, that's all we have, so we have to make do with it. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we also have to find a way on how to get around it. Have we had that kind of discussion? We've seen a lot of welfare departments and also Zakat for the Muslim been giving out all this aid. Have we monitored how they use them? Do we want to do that as well?
But how does living in poverty affect the long-term well-being and progress of those that are affected by it?
As a child advocate, one of the things that poverty, that I'm worried about, is poverty is one of the factors why in a household there is a higher risk of child being abused. Poverty is also a risk factor where children run away. Poverty is clearly a factor why children do not want to come to school. Poverty is a factor why children become more, they have issues as well, you know, and they look out for a way out because they are hungry or because they just live in a very tight area and things like that. If you ask me again about the long-term well-being and progress, we do see all this as an important factor. Poverty is something major to be addressed. But poverty doesn't mean that you give money alone. I don't agree to that. It's not just about money. It's also about knowledge and skill and how you use the money. So if we keep being a welfare community, sooner or later, somebody's going to abuse that. And that's not what we want. And we would have a different kind of well-being problems.
So do we need to do more to address poverty in Malaysia?
Honestly, we need to listen more on what is poverty from our own local demographic. Okay, some people say mean or medium report. I don't know, you know. So to me, it is what it is on the ground. The resources that is available to them, we need to hear. Some is actually quite smart in meal planning. I've seen that. Some people do not know how to cook even nowadays because they, you know, it seems cheaper to buy. And then, so when you have no money, but you don't have the skill, it's going to be difficult. We need to talk about this more, but we need to accept that we are not perfect. Okay, we need to accept that we can do the best that we can, but it doesn't reach out to everyone. The narrative about poverty and the way of life and how to improve the way of life should be more diverse in a sense of languages, in a sense of opportunity, logistics, and all that. Okay, so it is scary. It can happen to anyone, but it's how we want to take this information instead of fighting, you're lying, you know, that's not the truth and all that. The poor are still the poor. And it's very sad. And I think that this is a great lesson tool and time to listen what do they mean about it and how others trying to cope with that. That's how I think about it.
That was social activist Syed Azmi Al-Habshi.
So far, other than Azmin's response, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said that the government will study Alston's claim and that the government will also review the methodology used to determine poverty levels if necessary.
Meanwhile, Alston said he will present a comprehensive report with his conclusions and recommendations on this issue to the Human Rights Council in Geneva in June next year.
So we've been asking you on Twitter, about this issue.
Yeah, we asked you, is 8 ringgit a day enough for a person in Malaysia to live on? So this includes food, rent, transport and medical needs. 99% of you have said no. 1% of you have said yes. We do have a few responses. Nas Azmin said that whoever that asked this question probably never lived on the street. Driscus wrote in and said, depends on the area where he or she lives. And to that, someone responded and said that, to asking where that wonderful area would be, I suppose. Zhu wrote in and said, theoretically possible, but with malnutrition. Singat Ninas wrote in and said, only if a day is 4 hours long.
Well, well, your needs would still be the same. You still need to eat, pay rent.
But you wouldn't eat
3
meals a day, perhaps.
True. Hakure Hime on Twitter said, that's 80% of transportation for me and the remaining 3 ringgit or 2 ringgit for maximum of 2 to 3 breads to eat. 1 bread for breakfast, 1 bread for lunch. Dinner is still enough with just ketchup rice with egg at home. Kieran wrote in and said 8 ringgit a day times 30 days equals to 240 ringgit. Good luck with that. Gwen said it's not sustainable even with instant noodles, which can come up costing to about 8 ringgit.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the point, isn't it? Even the basic calculation we did earlier, it was just rice, egg, and what
a little bit of vegetables.
Is that sustainable?
Yeah,
is the question. I mean, yes, I guess if you're in a situation like that, but I think expecting people to do that, you're not taking into account the potential health implications.
And UNICEF also came up with a report last year about the urban poor, and one of the major findings was the high state of malnutrition among the children among the urban poor due to poor food security and just not having good quality food to eat. Very probably just meals that can fill your stomach. And it
also feeds into what you mentioned earlier, Shawik, about this the fact that a lot of the urban poor don't have the time to prepare food at home. So when you look at societies like the US, for instance, a lot of the people who live in the disadvantaged areas tend to eat a lot of fast food because it's the cheapest and easiest thing that they can buy. But it's also hugely unhealthy to feed their kids or themselves that every day. And while the discussion then becomes about, oh, why do they eat such bad food? The answer is actually very simple. It's because they can't afford anything else. And they don't have the time, even if they could, to cook anything else at home.
Yeah, because especially urban poor are so disadvantaged because it costs so much more for them to just buy basic produce, which the cost of it is inflated by the fact that it has to arrive to the cities.
And on WhatsApp, Tai Poo Chi wrote in and said, anyone who said that you can live with 8 ringgit a day should try it themselves. Jason wrote in and said, the minister should be paid 8 ringgit a day. someone else wrote in, Yip Kok wrote in and said, no, I think that is in response to our Twitter question on whether you can, is 8 ringgit a day enough for a person in Malaysia to live on?
So I think one of the things that I found slightly disheartening was actually the response to Philip Alston's remarks, right? Mm-hmm. Because the column that I talked about earlier, Nathaniel Tan's on in the Star, pointed out the same thing, which is that when our minister responded to say that he disagreed and dismissed those claims, I mean, I think that a little bit more engagement could have been done. Mm. Because instead of saying that, oh, ours was based on this methodology or whatever, to instead look at the fact that perhaps it's time we rethought how we think of what poverty means. Mm.
I find it odd, actually, because I would have thought, and from all media reports, it would seem that Philip Alston had met with a lot of representatives mm-hmm. from the government, the related government agencies. Mm. And so this kind of fighting it out on the media is taking the attention away from what needs to be done. And it's just a, well, you don't know my situation, I know my situation better. It's right. That kind of rhetoric.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that the vast difference in from that 0.4% to 16% to 20%. So just to reiterate, according to our official statistics, our poverty rate is 0.4%. But if we go by external analysts and by what Philip Alston was saying about how we should be talking about poverty, we could be talking about 16 to 20% of our population living in poverty. Now, 16% of our population would actually translate to about 5.1 million people. That's not a small number.
Yeah.
And it would also mean that that's a much larger number of people living in these conditions than what we have been led to believe. Mm. That's not something to just dismiss right out. I mean, even if you think you have all the figures, I think that our government and our ministers does owe it to us to explain why they're so confident in their figures mm-hmm. then.
Yeah. And I also do want to point out that just taking into account some of the responses I've seen and heard, whenever we say that 8 ringgit a day is enough, depending on how you choose to spend it, I think that comes from a place of privilege. And it's fine when you choose to do that, mm-hmm. like I said, but it's a whole other story when a family is forced to live on that. Because I disagree with that that notion that you should only spend on what you need. You should always indulge in yourself every once in a while. That is also for your mental health. It's not just, you know, I think it's very unfair to tell people you should only spend on food and water, and that's pretty much what you need, and that's how you should live. It's a very unfair take on poverty, I feel.
Mm. And I think the other thing is, of course, and it struck me when I realized how different it sounds when you say 980 ringgit a month versus when you say 8 ringgit on average per day. Because in theory, 980 ringgit a month doesn't sound like a very small amount to live on. Mm. But when you break it down to what it means to a family of four, mm-hmm. and then it turns out that it's actually 8 ringgit a day, that to me is a shockingly small amount to live
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
So you can listen to the full interview with Philip Alston by looking for Not Quite the World Champion in Eliminating Poverty on BFM.my. That was done by our Morning Run team earlier today. And you can keep the conversation going by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or check us out on Facebook on BFM The Bigger Picture. So we will be back after a quick break. But first, here's Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want by The Smiths on BFM 89.9.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. Here's what we talked about today.
In our first story, we looked at the crisis that's happening in the Amazon rainforest, where at least 74,000 fires have been raging across the forest, just in Brazil alone, just this year. And so we were looking at the impact of these forest fires on our ability to mitigate global warming and what it means for international political action as well as individual actions.
And following that, the UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights has said that Malaysia's official poverty rate is underestimated and leaves many people without a social safety net. So we've got a few comments from the listeners.
Yes, so Jonathan Lim has written and said, the bigger question isn't whether one can survive with R8 a day, but what's being done to improve that? Mm. The minister's response of it being higher than the global line smacks of hiding behind a fact rather than wanting to improve the lives of these people. Sega Krishnan and Rodin, no way. That is, in response to the poll we asked you, is R8 a day enough for a person in Malaysia to live on, which includes food, rent, transport and medical needs? 99% of you have said no, and only 1% of you have said yes. Yes.
Mm. So if you've missed any part of our show today, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/thedailydigest, on our BFM app and on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Kelly here will be sticking around to speak to Reef Check Malaysia about International Coastal Cleanup Day. That's all we have for you from The Daily Digest. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.